This past week, Kristen, my wife, and I, along with Josh and Linnea West and David Mandy England, went to the Sovereign Grace Pastors Conference in Orlando, Florida. And I wanted to just thank you guys who prayed for us, as well as just let you know that a few of the highlights from the conference in Orlando. One of the neat things that I should have videoed it for you guys, but was just seeing David and Mandy England, who are, if you don't know them, they're going to be missionaries in Thailand to an unreached people group there in Thailand that we're going to be sending out in the next few months. And with just the connection that they have to so many other pastors and churches. So, like David and Mandy are over here, and all these people keep coming up to them, and they all know him. And I'm like, how do they all, he knows everybody. And it was just great because all the connections that David and Mandy have to a church in Denver, a church in New Hampshire, a church in Pennsylvania. I mean, it's just like all over the place. So that was really exciting. It was also exciting having the West there and just seeing them interact and enjoying the teaching by people like H.B. Charles, who is a African-American pastor there in Jacksonville, Florida, a great pastor, C.J. Mahaney, Mark Prater, Jeff Perswell, other godly speakers to listen and learn from. And the theme of the conference was, I Will Build My Church, taken from Jesus' words in the Gospel of Matthew. And it was encouraging, it was refreshing about how Christ will build his church. He is at work, and he loves his church. And it just reminded me, as I'm sitting there listening, which as a pastor who speaks most weeks, I don't usually get to sit there and listen, so it was fun to just sit there and listen, and to sit there and listen and think of you guys as they're talking about Christ building his church, and to think about how Christ has built his church. And it's just an honor and privilege to be one of the pastors here, and I just want to thank you for that. It's just a joy. It's thankfulness in my heart welled up as I kept thinking about that as each session dealt with aspects of that. And then the last highlight was there was a luncheon. I'm part of the National Church Plant Group for Sovereign Grace, and there's a luncheon for all the church plants. It wasn't just like a recruiting lunch that I've been to those before of like, hey, if you want to plant a church. It was a celebration lunch of like, here's what God's doing. If you want to get on board, cool, but we're going. And it was just exciting. There's a church plant in California. The one that I've told you guys about in Arkansas just had their first service last Sunday, so 7 days ago. A church in North Dakota, a church in Pennsylvania. And then at the lunch, Kristen and I are sitting there talking to a gentleman across from us. And he is a prospective church planter. He is going through eldership training at the Sovereign Grace Church in Sioux Falls, South Dakota. Never been there. We were joking with him, like, if he left, would the population decrease and stuff like that? We were making fun of him, but which is always fun to do. So he's in Sioux Falls, South Dakota, and his wife is from Columbia, South Carolina. And so he is praying about, would God be stirring his family to plant a Sovereign Grace church in South Carolina? So possibly in Columbia. So it was really exciting to hear his story and what God may be doing there. We would be connected to that somehow if that came about. So just letting you know years in advance, it may be several years from now before that happens, but a possible church plant in Columbia, South Carolina, being initiated and thought about even this past week. So it's exciting because Jesus really will build his church. And that really leads to the message tonight. We're pausing our study on the book of Job. We're going to start back up to Job next week. But this week, I'm going to be doing a message called Collaborating with Local Churches. Collaborating with local churches. Let me tell you the story. Some of you know this story very, very well. Some of you guys may not. But in March 2010, my wife Kristen and I, along with Jim and Sharon Hawkins, were in the research phase of, do we plant a church? There were two cities that we were exploring. We lived in Charlotte, North Carolina. Two cities we were exploring. One was Somerville, South Carolina, and the other Columbia, South Carolina. And we came and visited Somerville first because we were going to hit Columbia on the way back to Charlotte. And we had a contact. We had one contact of someone to meet with in Somerville, South Carolina, a guy named Clay Jernigan, who's a pastor of this church we'd never heard of called Journey Church. And Clay was in this church plant called Journey Church. He'd been a pastor there for 3 years, and we knew him because my wife, Kristen, was at Clemson with Clay, and they served in the leadership of the Fellowship of Christian Athletes there at Clemson. Well, we came down, and we toured this new facility. They were painting the ceiling black as we came in, and we were just interested in what was going on, and Clay drove us around. He was excited about the idea of a Sovereign Grace Church coming to the Somerville area, and I remember the Hawkins and Seavers were just blown away. We were blown away by the generosity and hospitality and the welcoming nature that Clay and the people at Journey Church had. And that evening, we were sitting at Clay's house in his living room. We talked. We dreamed. What might God be doing? Is this something that's supposed to happen? At one point, Clay, I said to Clay, man, you're a church plant. We don't want to be in your backyard. And Clay quickly responded, Mike, we need other like-minded churches to partner with in the area. Heck, you can be in our building if you want to. To which I laughed and rolled my eyes and thought to myself, that will never happen. Well, as you know, the Lord has a way of humbling us. And this is the second time in our 6 years as a church of meeting here at Journey Church's facility. And I want to tell you a little bit about Journey Church, because Journey Church is not this facility. Journey Church is a group of people. And that group of people, I believe, God has used to break down some walls in our area that we may not even be aware of. Prior to 2008, when Journey planted, from what I hear, from talking to pastors and people who've been around here for a long time, Charleston in this area did not, the churches in Charleston did not partner with one another. I've been told that even new church plants were coming in. There was one that was supposed to be downtown, and people were more suspicious of a church plant than excited about a church plant. One man tried to find partnering churches to plant a church with him together, and he found that more bigger and established churches were just unwilling. That's a gospel-less attitude. Ephesians 4, verse 3 says, earnestly desire the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. And that's for the local church, but that's also as we interact with other believers. There's this desiring the unity of the Spirit, desiring the bond of peace. And so tonight we're going to explore what gospel partnership looks like and why it's important, not just regionally within our Sovereign Grace churches, but which is highly important, but even more primarily focusing on local churches partnering with other local churches, which means it's going to be cross-denominational. Probably, most likely it is here. We're the only Sovereign Grace church in South Carolina. So we're not like going to just take a walk somewhere to another Sovereign Grace church. But the reason I'm giving this message tonight is I actually taught it last July at a leaders retreat we did in Ridgecrest with our small group leaders and with Crossway Community Church, our sending church. And honestly, the pastors at Crossway asked me to prepare a message like this. And I honestly was giving it and was thinking more about helping Crossway. And after that message, I gathered with our leaders, and they were like, you've got to preach that at our church. And I was like, do I? And they're like, you've got to preach that at our church. So in honoring our community group leaders, I remember Christopher Warren saying, you must do that message. So I'm going to submit to the desires of our deacons and community group leaders to hopefully fan the flame of stuff that God's already doing in the mission of you individually, your family, and I know it's happening already in our church, that we want to be a church that partners with other local churches for the glory of God. And so my main point tonight is this. It'll be on the screen. Gospel partnership on a local level brings a tangible, observable beauty and blessing to the community for the glory of God. Gospel partnership on a local level brings a tangible and observable beauty and blessing to the community for the glory of God. Let me say that in kind of another way. Local churches can bring a tangible saltiness when they partner together with other churches on local mission. So open up your Bibles to the book of Philippians. It's in the New Testament, book of Philippians, chapter 4. This is Paul's letter to the church at Philippi, and we're going to study a section starting at verse 14 tonight. This is not an expository message like I usually preach. This is more taking the topic of understanding, collaborating with local churches, and observing the Philippian church, and then asking ourselves, what does gospel partnership look like? What does it look like for them? What should it look like for us? So Philippians chapter 4, starting at verse 14. And this is God's word. This is the most important thing I'm going to say tonight. Starting at verse 14, Philippians chapter 4. Let's look at the text together. Yet it was kind of you to share my trouble. And you, Philippians, yourselves know that in the beginning of the gospel, when I left Macedonia, no church entered into partnership with me in giving and receiving except you only. Even in Thessalonica, you sent me help for my needs once and again. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that increases to your credit. I have received full payment and more. I am well supplied, having received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent, a fragrant offering and a sacrifice acceptable and pleasing to God. And my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. To our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that we can observe the man Paul, but also the church, the Philippians, and how they responded to the gospel, and then that gospel response meant something. They acted upon it. And Lord, I pray that we would learn in spirit that you would work tonight. And we thank you that you are Father who adopts us, that you are Son who redeems us, you are Spirit who seals us and keeps us. Father, I pray we would have soft hearts to your word. We would apply your word to our lives. You would guard me from error in speaking. We would honor you. In Jesus' name, amen. The Philippian church was a model of gospel partnership for Paul, but not just Paul, but toward other churches. Now, at this point in time in church history, when the Philippians were around, when Paul is writing to them, there were not a lot of churches in a 5-mile square radius. So we don't have a one-to-one correlation about what goes on in Philippi and what goes on in Somerville or Ladson or Goose Creek. We don't have that one-to-one correlation, but we can draw out the implications of a heart for partnership, a heart of partnership by the Philippians as they generously cared for others. And so we're going to observe the beauty and the blessings of gospel partnership. So my first point tonight is this, the gospel beauty of partnering with other churches. Verse 14, Paul says, yet it was kind of you to share my troubles. The Philippian church generously and graciously supported Paul. They shared in his troubles. They shared in his ministry, his mission. And it wasn't just like a love offering of, hey, there you go, we gave you some money and now we're going about doing something else. No, Paul is writing from prison, and he's had a relationship with the Philippian church for 10 years. And he says, you supplied me once and again. Like there was a supply that they were helping Paul in the mission that he was going forth making disciples. And it wasn't just about Paul. It was going toward Paul so that he could care for and equip other churches. So in supporting Paul, they were supporting other churches. Verse 15, and you Philippians yourselves know that in the beginning of the gospel ministry, when I left Macedonia, no church entered into partnership with me in giving and receiving except you only. So partnering with Paul was supporting this man, but it was supporting the church planting efforts of Paul, church equipping efforts of Paul, supporting other churches. And so we've got to ask why. Why didn't the Philippians just keep things to themselves? They weren't super wealthy, but they were generous. Because the church is the hope of the world. Jesus' plan for his message is to be proclaimed throughout the world and to use local churches, the beauty of called out ones going forth for his glory into our cities. Like, so we don't just, and we even talked about this at the conference this past week, we don't just send missionaries, we send people who are going to help church planting efforts all over the world. Whether it's the Isan of Thailand or the people in Germany at RK Church, which is one of the largest churches in Germany that happens to be a Sovereign Grace church, or like all over the world, we want to do church planting efforts wherever we go. It's a shared mission, and it's a mission understanding that Christ will build his church. And the Philippian church is all in. They are all about that. They're willing to partner. They're willing to help. They're willing to, notice the phrase that Paul used. I think it's so interesting. They're willing to share in the trouble. That word share has its roots in the word koinonia. You might have heard that if you've studied Greek or been around understanding scripture or Bible study. Koinonia has the idea of fellowship. It's usually translated fellowship or partnership. So they're sharing, they're fellowshipping, they're partnering together in the trouble. Think about that for a moment. Are we willing to share in the trouble of other local churches? If their gospel is our gospel, their mission is our mission, are their problems our problems? Over the last several years, I feel like we've been learning this as a church. In June 2016, we were told that the rent at Sangaree Middle School was quadrupling. We were given about 4 days' notice. And within 3 days, we had three different churches offer for us to use their facility. A Presbyterian church, a Baptist church, this one, and a Pentecostal church said, come, your problem is our problem. Our problem became their problem. In 2012, a church named River Church in West Ashley had a vision to start something called Love Gave. Love Gave was simply a program of raising money, spending a weekend in December to say, we're going to care about the orphans and adoption in the Lowcountry. And so that was happening, and they called us kind of late in the game and said, hey, we need more help. We need help. Is there any way you guys can help us? That weekend, their problem became our problem. That weekend, we partnered with 12 other local churches to raise over $160,000 toward orphan care. Love Gave ended up giving $10,000 like scholarships toward adoptions for different families. And one of the cool things, one of my highlights of that weekend, still looking back, is that one of those $10,000 scholarships went to the Jernigan family. Remember Clay Jernigan, who I mentioned a little while ago, who was the one saying, hey, I want you to come. We need your help. We were able to kind of help Now he has a little girl, I think she's from China, in his house. Our problems became other people's problems. Their problems become our problems. And that's simply gospel being worked out, right? Ultimately, our problem became Christ's problem. He came, he put on flesh, he lived in the sinful world on our behalf. He died in our place. He was condemned in our place. He took our greatest problem, our sin, and the coming wrath that was coming toward us that we deserved. And he rose victorious. And now we can walk in newness of life because Jesus died and rose for all who believe in him. And so Jesus says in John 12, people will know us by our love for others. Jesus displayed that in his life, this sacrificial love for others, the one-time ultimate sacrifice. But then he says, go and serve, go and love. Just as I've loved you, love one another. Because we are in Christ, we're united to Christ, we can love others by taking on the problems of others, partnering, sharing in the trouble. And so I really want to just get practical for a few minutes and say, well, what does that look like? How does Sovereign Grace Church partner with other local churches? And these aren't going to be on your screen, but you can list them if you want. Number one is this, praying for other local churches. Now, my assumption is in this is that you already pray for this church. If you don't, start there. Do like number zero. Pray for our church. We need prayer. But praying for other local churches. At our 3:15 prayer time that anybody's welcome to come to that we do every Sunday, we often pray for other local churches, partnering with other local churches. This morning at about 7 o'clock, I'm going to pull up a text I received. Because here's the thing, other local churches are doing this for us. I received this text at, I got it at 7 o'clock, but he sent it late last night. He said, hey, Mike, how are you? Just wanted to let you know how Deshauna and I are praying for you and that you would stand in the power of Christ tomorrow, that God's might and strength be on you as you share the hope of the gospel of his son, Jesus, in all of your personal inadequacies, amen, and insufficiencies, and be suffocated and drowned at the fountain of our Savior's blood, that men, women, and children will not only hear but see and experience the power of God unto salvation as you deliver tomorrow. I love you. We love you. And Impact Church stands with you in the kingdom. It's a guy named Rashawn Wilson. He's a pastor downtown on the peninsula, Impact Church. One of the things I love about Rashawn is he was a guy, as we were planning and working with Philip Pinckney to plant a church, we were thinking, and we told this to you guys, we were thinking downtown on the peninsula. Well, as Philip started being stirred of maybe it's North Charleston, we're like, well, Rashawn's already doing stuff on the peninsula. Let's help Rashawn. All the contacts Philip had, all the ministry that was already being stirred down on the peninsula, we helped Rashawn have that so that then Philip could plant in North Charleston. So Rashawn's a friend. He's a godly man who's doing a good job at Impact Church. So we're being prayed for. We want to pray for others. That's number one on the practical way we share in the trouble. Secondly, is we partner with other churches in ministries. We take on the problems of our city. So whether it's racial reconciliation with One Charleston, or as John Dio just said, Jobs for Life with the Net, and just how do we make an impact in our community? Let's do it with other people, or doing pro-life causes with other churches through Low Country Pregnancy Center, or whatever it is. We want to move forward in partnering with other churches for the good of the community. When a marriage seminar came kind of on the radar, as Jim and I were praying about a marriage seminar, we said, well, who can we do it with? when we did the evangelism seminar this past spring, we thought, who can we do this with that we can learn from? We were seeing a weakness in our own church. Who can we learn from who is strong at this? So we asked Restoration Church to do it with us. They're in Hanahan. They do a good job. I think I've told you guys this before, but there's one time I was with Adam Spurlock, their lead pastor, and Adam was kind of down and kind of struggling. I was like, what's wrong, Adam? And he was like, man, I'm just kind of disappointed that we haven't seen more conversions this year. And I was like, well, how many have you seen? He's like, 20. It's our lowest since we started the church. I was like, 20? You've had 20 conversions and you're disappointed in that? Oh, man, that's huge. So I was like, we want to learn from them. But we want to teach restoration also. One of the things they've struggled with is when someone has a baby, just caring for the lady and the family and providing meals. And I was like, dude, we kill it at that. Like, someone just barely posts that they need a meal. It's like, whoosh. Like, if you're not on there, you're not going to get in the loop because we are a meal-making machine. They can learn from us, and we can learn from them. And here's the thing. These are long-term partnerships. These are long-term ways we can grow and be in this city and love other churches. It's long-term. It's slow. One of the things I've been convicted of over the last several months and probably year is there's a temptation, and this is a very American temptation, to go fast, big, and famous. Like, what is counted as good, right, godly, helpful, blessed, anointed is fast, big, and famous. But so oftentimes as you read the New Testament, the words of Jesus, how Jesus works, it's slow, it's small, it's ordinary. It's going to the demon-possessed man who no one's talking to. It's going to the woman at the well. It's going over here. It's ordinary. Jesus teaches us to love the ordinary. Part of loving other local churches, it's the small. Like no one's putting on a billboard that Jobs for Life has 6 students. Whoa! But 6 students is huge. Our goal was 5. Like, that's one more than some of our goals. And last year, or when we did it before, we had 5. And the year before, we had 5. But if 5 people are impacted year by year, semester by semester, that is huge. It's slow. It's small. It's ordinary, but it's consistent. It's the power of God. It's the kingdom coming and the will being done. We rejoice with those who are rejoicing. We cry and weep with those who are weeping. Third way we partner with other churches is we share in the trouble when it comes to church budgets and decisions. Whether it's helping another local church financially or just blessing them like we did recently with giving gift cards to some of the pastors here at Journey Church just to thank them. Congratulations on your 10-year anniversary. Back when I was working on this message in July, Mike Logston, who's a pastor at a new church plant called Great Commission Church, dropped off some sound equipment that we were letting his church plant borrow that was our equipment because they needed help. And they were, like, their sound guy was out of town with his equipment or something like that, so they needed help. And he dropped by my house the equipment that he was borrowing, and he was just letting me know how he prayed for our church. And I was talking to him about some land I saw and like, hey, would that be an interest to your church? We're just trying to help each other, love each other, be for our community. A few days later, he called me and said, hey, man, I heard about this church that's kind of in decline. I think they could use your help. They're called Sangaree Baptist. And I was like, hey, we're already in touch with them. And he's like, oh, good. I just want to make sure. I mean, it's other people looking out for one another. That is unusual among a lot of places with gospel ministry and partnership. Fourth way, we want to encourage other churches where we see grace in their congregation. Just like you don't see grace oftentimes in your own life, but someone else can point it out to you. You know, like you didn't know you were growing in that area, and someone's like, I've really seen you grow in that area. And you're like, oh, wow, that's really encouraging. Churches are the same way. Where you see a church and you're like, man, I so appreciate what they're doing there that we verbally communicate it. Whether you're writing a note to their pastor or commending them to a friend of yours that goes to that church, it's like, man, they're doing a great job. Thank you. We're so grateful for your church in the community. We can be blind to where God's at work, but we want to verbally, at Sovereign Grace Church, we want to be a church that other churches see going, yes, we love you guys. Keep going. And we want to root them on. There's a beauty in gospel partnership. There's a saltiness in serving the community. Serving the community together. Being for other people. And just imagine doing something together. Someone comes. They're like, what church are you from? Well, they're from Sovereign Grace, and they're from Restoration, and they're from Journey, and they're from Radiant Church. And people are like, what? Like, all these people work together? That's kingdom-minded. We need other churches to do well. We want other churches to have conversions, to make disciples. We want every man, woman, and child to have multiple opportunities to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we cannot do that alone. This area is growing. I think the last I heard was it's like 80 people a day are moving this area. Chad, is that right? Figured a realtor. 46? Is that just this area? Is that all Charleston? All Charleston, 46 a day. Like, we cannot do that alone. We need other people. We need help. And as we become aware of the beauty of local churches partnering together, we also find that it's a blessing. So my second point is this. The gospel blessing of partnering with other churches. Look at verse 17 with me. Paul says, not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that increases to your credit. I've received full payment and more. I am well supplied, having received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent, a fragrant offering, a sacrifice acceptable and pleasing to God. And my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Paul is saying that partnership with the Philippians is providing for him. But in that providing, they're also receiving. They're receiving. And friends, that's true. If you just are generous in your own life, you see God work in that way. We're not supposed to test God, except for one thing it says, test me in Scripture. Test me about your generosity. Test Jesus if he will not give abundantly more. Not a prosperity gospel, but he says, test me in this. As a church, we are generous. We want to mull over that a little while. Who is blessed when we partner together? Who is blessed when local churches partner together? First is this, us. We are blessed. That's what Paul's kind of saying here. There's a blessing to the local church, us, as we look outside of ourselves and look to the community and encourage other churches. That we're not the only church on Sundays worshiping Jesus. We're not the only gospel-centered church in this area. We want to praise God for that. In Philippians 4, Paul says that God will provide for the Philippian church and reward their generosity. God will, quote, supply all your needs according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. It's helpful for us to just not just look at individual generosity, but to think, how are we as a church, a generous church, corporately? We want to be a church that celebrates kingdom victories. We want to see ourselves as missionaries to this area. We want to anticipate what God's doing in our church and other churches. And that means as we celebrate kingdom victories, if Grace Christian Fellowship's able to meet their building fund, we're excited for them. If Journey Church finally gets their building built, we're excited for them. As Church of Cane Bay is working on something else, we're excited for them. I had a solar panel salesman talk to me yesterday. It was in my driveway, which, by the way, they're all Mormons. I just found that out because they're all owned by Mormon companies, and they're used to going door to door. So interesting thing I found out yesterday talking to this guy. But so gospel witness opportunity. So I'm talking to him. He said he just bought a house in Cane Bay. And I was like, have you heard of Church of Cane Bay? It's a great church. And da-da-da-da. That's when he finally told me I'm LDS, Latter-day Saints. So I was like, oh, okay. So we were talking all about that. But I was saying, you're welcome to visit our church, because there's a church right there, right in your neighborhood. We want to fan the flames of what God's doing in our church and in other churches. Another blessing for the local church is this, and I think this is huge, is that competition between churches becomes less and less. I feel, and this might just be subjective for me, but I don't feel like we have a lot of people that are talking down about other churches in our area. Maybe they just don't say it to me. But I think as we have a kingdom mindset, and we understand the church is not a building, the church is people, and people deserve to be treated with dignity and respect, even if we won't necessarily do everything together, even if we don't necessarily agree on everything, we're going to love them. And we're going to hope the gospel is preached. And if there are issues we need to talk about, we're not going to just blare it on social media. We're going to actually go talk to those people. Say, hey, we've got some concerns here. It's a blessing. So it's a blessing on us. Secondly, it's a blessing on the partnering churches. We can partner with other churches, and we can use our gifts to encourage them. I mentioned a little while ago the evangelism seminar that we did last spring. At the evangelism seminar, we did it like a Friday night, Saturday morning. That Saturday morning, we spent some time praying for conversions, praying for opportunities to share the gospel with non-believers. And that evening, one of the members of Restoration Church went to her nursing job. There were two different nurses that she'd been praying for a long time about, will she ever get an opportunity to share the gospel? Some different, interesting, hard situations never was happening. That evening, right after the evangelism seminar, she had two opportunities that night to share the gospel with friends, with ladies that she had been building relationships with. And here's what that did. That opportunity encouraged her, and it encouraged Restoration Church. The seminar that we came up with, that we did, encouraged a member of Restoration Church and another church. Are we okay with that? Are we okay with sowing and seeing if fruit is born in other places and in other ways? Part of us blessing others is that it will bless those churches. And friends, it's relieving that different churches can be the anchor for different types of ministry in the community. We don't have to do everything well because we can't. So if you want a big outreach event, talk to Church of Cane Bay. We asked them for help when we were doing our Easter thing this past Easter because they're like, you guys do it well, we need help. If you want to do a sports camp, Restoration Church, you want to grow an adoption and foster care ministry, talk to Journey Church. You want to learn more about immigration and the effects of it on our community and how to help immigrants, Grace Christian Fellowship's a good church. You want to grow in understanding racial tensions, Radiant Church or one of the One Charleston churches. You want to grow, and this is fascinating, want to grow in having men equipped and sent out for pastoral ministry. Our church is the one people point to. I was at a luncheon at Carolina Ale House. Didn't pay for it. Someone else did. It was good. And I was invited to it, and it was other church planters. And they, two or three of the guys stood up and ended up talking about this church and talking about people being trained well, assessed well, and sent out well. And I was like, we've done it one time. Like, okay, that's fine. But just that reputation is a gift from God and that we can help others. Because we have been in conversations trying to help others in assessing their church planners. It is a blessing that we don't have to do everything well because we can't. But we can rely on the body of Christ and the kingdom that God's doing here. So it's a blessing to us. It's a blessing to other churches we partner with. It's a blessing to the community. Early on as we were planting, we were trying to figure out how do we get in the community. We wanted to be such a church that if we ceased to exist, the community would be sad. And so we started talking to the guys at Journey Church, and they said, hey, we're serving at Sangaree Intermediate School. Why don't you consider serving at Sangaree Middle School? So through some different circumstances, they got us a meeting with the principal at Sangaree Middle School. And here's the thing. We rode the wave and the relationship that they had already built with Sangaree Intermediate. Sangaree Middle didn't know us, but they knew Journey Church did a good job, and we were friends with Journey. And so they like opened that door for us to be able to serve at Sangaree Middle School. I was at a meeting about 2 weeks ago at Sangaree Middle School. Principal, guidance counselor, and about 8 teachers in the room. And they were thanking us for all the things we do. I was talking about some initiatives. We're going to bring back Love Gave, which I'll tell you about in a few weeks. It's pretty exciting. More details I'll give you, but they want to help in the community too. And they were thanking me, thanking us for what we do. And I would just say, we don't do that much. Like we do a little bit, we want to help, but it's massive to them. This past summer, many in our youth group were helping with a tech camp. And the middle school teacher was helping and teaching internet coding. And that teacher, I think Jim relayed this story to us, was just tearing up, crying at all the help she received with this massive project, the responsibility of the camp that she was feeling. It's a blessing, the community. So it blesses us, it blesses other churches, it blesses the community, and it blesses non-believers. And I want to differentiate between the community and non-believers. Because I want you to think of individual non-believers that you have relationships with right now in our community. Maybe a neighbor, maybe a coworker, maybe somebody at a store, somebody you've met. Think about that non-believer and think about this. Maybe it's a neighbor. And you invite them to come with you to help the community at an event that's put on by another church. How would they respond? What questions would that stir? Why would you help another church? You see, to an outside world, they just think we're all in competition. So the new McDonald's fights off the new Burger King and the new Wendy's, and they just see it as a marketing, economic thing. But we're like, no, we're going to help you for you to reach out to that community. We're going to bless you. You know those big black cases that we had at Sangaree Middle School? Watsons, I know you remember this. They're in charge of a lot of lifting and moving those things. We donated some of those to a church plant that's going to be in Goose Creek. They bought some of them and we donated a bunch of them too. Because they needed them. They needed our help. They needed help. We donated more of them to Radiant Church because they needed them. So we want to be a blessing to other churches. And when our neighbor asks those questions, well, why are you helping them? Because we're family. John 13:35, by this all people will know that you are my disciple, if you have love for one another. And friends, we know all this is to herald the gospel and the glory of Jesus Christ. So my third point, last point, and shortest point is the glory displayed in partnering with other churches. Paul ends Philippians 4 encouraging the church as it partners well, verse 19-20, and my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. To our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Paul consistently points out to the Philippians that joy in God, which is kind of a theme in the book of Philippians, joy in God and God's glory is offered to them, and that their generosity stirs more joy and more glory for God. So if glory of God, glory for God is our goal, partnering with other churches is beautiful and glorious, and it's a display of God's handiwork. Steve Lawson says this, giving glory to God will be our eternal occupation throughout the ages to come. We should likewise make it our primary occupation in this age too. We want to give glory to God. One way that we can give glory to God is by helping others, be on mission, loving others in the city together. God's glory is on display as we serve the community together. This past July, I mentioned some of our youth were working together in something called Mission Charleston. Mission Charleston was three different churches locally, and then other churches from North Carolina and other parts of South Carolina that were serving the community in Charleston together. I was assigned, I think I told you guys this before, I was assigned to help one day, and as I helped, I was put on a team to help do landscaping at Radiant Church. So we're just helping Philip and those guys down there. And I was just the next day doing my devotion time, was praying for Mission Charleston, praying for Radiant and all the work we didn't get to that they needed done, and just praying about Mission Charleston, what was going on. And it hit me. Radiant Church is using a facility that's owned by River Bluff Church. So Radiant and River Bluff. Mission Charleston was being done. We had teenagers from different local churches, Sovereign Grace Church, Restoration Church, and Grace Christian Fellowship. So in that one moment, that one day, we have five different local churches working together for the glory of God. And I just started tearing up. Like, this is what we're supposed to do. We're actually supposed to work together. We're actually not in competition. This is actually for God's glory and for our good. And that is gospel partnership. As I said at the beginning, gospel partnership on a local level brings a tangible and observable beauty and blessing to the community for the glory of God. And Sovereign Grace Church, before I close in just a sec, I just want to commend you in this. Jim and I, as your elders, regularly just glorify God and praise God for you. You do a great job in this. Like, the reason that Crossway in Charlotte, a church of 500 people, asked me to talk about this subject at a conference in July was because they see you living this and doing this, and they want to learn from you. So I'm just grateful for your heart for this, your love for gospel partnerships. You thrive on gospel partnerships. You welcome gospel partnerships. Like, even me bringing up that we may help with a future church plant in Columbia, like, I don't think a lot of people are like, there are some churches that would be like, what in the world? Change? Will somebody move with that church plan? Like, but for us, it's praise God. Let's let more churches be planted for the glory of God. But I don't want to assume just because these characteristics are something we see so clearly here at this church that it doesn't mean there aren't areas we don't need to grow in and persist in, and the Holy Spirit's putting on our hearts right now. So let me give you four quick things that I think God may want us to grow in. One, I mentioned this earlier, praying regularly for other local churches and pastors. If there's a church you pass on your way to work, or a church you know you have friends at, please already be praying for this church. I'm assuming that. But pray for them. Pray for that church you pass. Secondly, confess and repent where you've seen other churches as competition rather than partners. I say I don't think we deal a lot with that, but if we have any roots of that, I remember my past growing up, those were competitors. Those were not partners. Let's have the Holy Spirit pull out any of those roots that are in our heart. Let's repent and run to the cross. Next, let's confess and repent where we've looked down on any other churches for not being strong in areas that we are strong. And let's also confess and repent where we've criticized our church for not being strong where other churches are strong. We can just constantly have that comparison model. Let's run to the cross. And lastly, ask God how he wants you to help in this area. So ask God, and if he's stirring you to help in this area, then pray and let's talk. Like, just as I was thinking about this yesterday, I was working on this message, I was thinking, I've got so many ideas, but we've got to do the right ones in the right time. The right ones in the right time. As God stirs people, as God calls people, as God energizes people and gives them the grace to do those things. So let's pray and let's trust God. Let's pray now. Father, we thank you that you are building your church through Christ Jesus our Lord. God, and that we're not in competition, but we gladly see your work being done. God, we pray for all these churches that we've mentioned tonight, whether it's the Net Church or Journey Church or Church of Cane Bay or Grace Christian Fellowship or Radiant Church or Restoration Church, the many other churches I've forgotten right now. God, let us be a praying people. God, let us be a people that's so grateful for what you're doing that we applaud those running the race with us. Lord, that we would see your grace and speak your grace to others. God, that you would stir creative ways to do that with our church family. God, we would be known as a grateful people, seeing your work, loving your work, running to the cross over and over again, and rejoicing in your resurrection and the newness of life we can walk in. In Jesus' name, amen.